Today's reading is Genesis 44, 1 through 18. Then he commanded the steward of his house, "Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put each man's money in the top of his sack. Put my cup, the silver cup, in the top of the sack of the youngest, and with his money for the grain." And he did as Joseph told him. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away with their donkeys. When they had gone only a short distance from the city, Joseph said to his steward, "Go, follow the men, and when you overtake them, say to them, 'Why have you returned evil for good? Why have you stolen my silver cup? Is it not from this that my Lord drinks? Does he not indeed use it for divination? You have done wrong in doing this.'" When he overtook them, he repeated these words to them. They said to him, "Why does my Lord speak such words as these? Far be it from your servants that they should do such a thing. Look, the money that we found at the top of our sacks, we brought back to you from the land of Canaan. Why then would we steal silver or gold from your Lord's house? Should it be found with any one of your servants, let him die. Moreover, the rest of us will become my Lord's slaves." He said, "Even so, in accordance with your words, let it be. He with whom it is found shall become my slave, but the rest of you shall go free." Then each one quickly lowered his sack to the ground, and each opened his sack. He searched, beginning with the eldest and ending with the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. At this they tore their clothes. Then each one loaded his donkey, and they returned to the city. Judah and his brothers came to Joseph's house while he was still there, and they fell to the ground before him. Joseph said to them, "What deed is this that you have done? Do you know that one such as I can practice this divination?" And Judah said, "What can we say to my Lord? What can we speak? How can we clear ourselves? God has found out the guilt of your servants. Here we are, then, my Lord's slaves, both we and also the one in whose possession the cup has been found." But he said, "Far be it from me that I should do so. Only the one in whose possession the cup was found shall be my slave. But as for you, go up in peace to your father." Then Judah stepped up to him and said, "O my Lord, let your servant please speak a word to my Lord's ears, and do not be angry with your servant, for you are like Pharaoh himself." So ends the reading.
This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us say, thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lindsay. I invite you to join us as we confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. It's wonderful to be here with you this morning. We're continuing our story of Joseph and his brothers and his father. We've seen how Joseph has been elevated to be the grand vizier of Egypt to save them from famine, because that was God's plan. That a descendant of Abraham would help become a blessing to all nations. And Egypt was the biggest empire around at this time. And so God was using Joseph to save the nation of Egypt, the empire of Egypt, from this terrible famine that was coming, that he would warn Pharaoh about a dream, and Joseph would interpret that to Pharaoh. He put Joseph in charge, and the famine was affecting everyone, and it continued to get worse, and it was even affecting the land of Canaan beyond. And so it brought Joseph's brothers to Joseph, Zaphnath-Paneah, the vizier of Egypt, to seek food. And of course, Joseph's brothers had been sent by Jacob, their father. Jacob, the son of Isaac, the grandson of Abraham. And Jacob had his own hurts, his own grief. We found out last week about how Jacob had this complicated grief. He just couldn't get over the loss of Joseph, and he refused to be comforted. And it was holding him and his family back. And when Judah and the rest of the brothers came back while Simeon was taken prisoner by Joseph as part of his plan, he kept Simeon as collateral. They went back to Jacob. And they went back, and Joseph had secretly blessed them and put double the money in their bags, returned everything they gave to them, and set food with them. And Jacob took it personally. But then Judah, last week we heard about, Judah spoke the truth in love to Jacob. He told him how his complicated grief was affecting the rest of the family and the next generation and the next generation. That they were all starving. That they all were in need of food. And if Jacob would have just let them take and trust him to take Benjamin back to Egypt like they were commanded to, so they could get more food. Otherwise they wouldn't see the face of Zaphnath today, the vizier. They could have come and gone back two times. And we heard last week how Jacob finally had a change of heart. Even though he still had his pain, he didn't run away from the pain anymore. He leaned in and he felt that emotional pain. And he said, if I am grieved, I am grieved. Or if I am bereaved, I am bereaved. Go and take your brother Benjamin. And take all these foods and delicacies from our land to bring as a gift. And take all the money back to them. And so they went back to Egypt. And Joseph had that party for them. He welcomed them. And then he tested them again. He gave Benjamin, his younger brother, secretly. He gave Benjamin, he arranged them all at this banquet. And he seated them with the knowledge that he had in secret of them from birth order and according to their firstborn all the way to the youngest. And then he gave the youngest, Benjamin, five times as much food, five times as much portion, five times as much of a reward to him to test his brothers to see, are they going to be jealous of Benjamin? Is Benjamin going to be just like it was for Joseph? Have they really changed, or are they just giving lip service? But then we heard last week at the very end that Benjamin had all these portions. And you know what they did? They were merry with him and they rejoiced with him. Now, were they doing that for appearances? Joseph was going to test them further to find out. He wanted to keep Benjamin close to him. And he knew that Benjamin was the one who was the only one that could get his father to come. Because Joseph needed to be reconciled. He needed to see his father. He needed to have that moment of truth with his father that's still coming. That's why he asks about his father. He misses his father. Even though his father had triangulated him, even though his father had put all his anxiety with God bound up in his hopes in Joseph. And so Joseph always had this peculiar relationship with his brothers where he was always set apart and different from them. And they resented him and they were jealous of him, but really they were mad at their dad. But over time, Judah had realized that I can't change my father, but I can be willing to change. And when he said to his father, give me the boy, I will be surety for him. I will be responsible, and if I don't come back with him, I will bear the weight of the blame. He was taking leadership. So Judah was a great example for us. And now we're going to see today how Judah steps up and is a spiritual leader yet again for his family. Even having the courage, knowing that this man could have him killed, stands up and speaks the truth in love to the grand vizier of Egypt, Zaphnath Paneah, who is secretly Joseph, but he doesn't know. And so we just heard Lindsay read for us today that Joseph, he had a plan to detain Benjamin. And when they found out that the cup was in Benjamin's sack, they tore their clothes because they know that God was testing them again, or that God was pressing into them, into their conscience, searing their conscience, that the truth has to come out. They can't live with that lie anymore. They tore their clothes as if Benjamin were as good as dead. People tear their clothes when they grieve and mourn in those days. Just like when Jacob thought that Benjamin, or that Joseph was dead and torn apart by animals, when he saw his cloak torn and had the blood on it. He thought surely an animal would have ripped him up And so Jacob tore his clothes and grieved at the loss of Joseph. And he even wore sackcloth for his undergarments and refused to be consoled. And so when Joseph's brothers tear their clothes, they are grieving the loss of the brother whom they love in Benjamin. So they load their donkey, they go back to the city. And then look at verse 14, chapter 44, as we just heard. Judah and his brothers, they came to Joseph's house while he was still there. And they fell to the ground, just like the dream, before him. And Joseph said, "What deed is this you've done? Do you not know that one such as I can practice divination? In other words, I can discern secret knowledge, through whether it's through magic or it's through telling the future, or it's through scrying or through dreams." He's saying that I see all. I have eyes everywhere. But here's what Judah says. Let's say this together. Verse 16. And Judah said, "What can we say to my Lord? What can we speak? How can we clear ourselves? God has found out the guilt of your servants. Here we are then, my Lord's slaves, both we and also the one in whose possession the cup has been found." I just want to go back to those words again. The first half of that verse. I think those are questions for us that we can contemplate, that we can say in our time alone with God, or we can say those things even in our homes and our families and our loved ones. When the truth comes out, or when things are beyond our control and we can't change our situations, remember what we heard last week about Viktor Frankl? When we can't change our situations, we can begin to try to change ourselves. This is words about a change of heart for ourselves. What can we say to my Lord? In other words, what can we say to God? What excuse can we make for the sin in our life? Or for where we've fallen short of the glory of God. Or where we've either on purpose or unintentionally caused harm to others because of our sin. What can we say to our Lord? The second thing we heard is, what can we speak? What can we speak? How can we clear ourselves? Can we clear ourselves of our sin before a just and holy God? No. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Jesus, who became surety for us on the cross, who took responsibility for our sin and our fear and our guilt and our shame and our blame that we've been carrying, and took that burden on himself. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become his righteousness. What can we say to my Lord? What can we speak? How can we clear ourselves? We can't. God has found out the guilt of your servants. That one stings. God has found out the guilt of your servants. Sometimes that happens when the truth comes out and someone finds out what we did. We try to keep it secret. Sometimes God finds out our guilt through searing our conscience through the Holy Spirit. And for me, the way that God finds out the guilt in my life most often comes from God's Word. That when I read God's Word reads me. I'm going to say that again. When we read God's Word reads us. Hebrews 4:12, you've heard me say it again and again. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's Word peers deep into the dark parts of my soul that are like an iceberg hidden beneath the icy waters that the Titanic goes aground against. What can I say to my Lord? What can I speak? What can I do to clear myself? I can't. God, in his Word, has found out the guilt of his servant. And so then, that last part, here we are then. Here we are. Instead of being focused on the past or worried about the future, we can say to God, "Here am I. Here am I, Lord, your servant. Let it be with me according to your word, like Mary, the mother of Jesus, prayed. When the truth comes out, when it's spoken to us through God with love or through another, through love, and it's the truth, and we have nowhere to hide anymore, do we have the courage to say, here am I. I've been found out. Here am I. Or he says, what can we say to my Lord? What can we speak? How can we clear ourselves? God has found out the guilt of your servants. Here we are then. And they say, my Lord's slaves, because that would be the consequence of the crime. Both we and also the one in whose possession the cup has been found. So now they're saying, we're your slaves, not just Benjamin. We're willing to be surety for him. We're willing to take the blame for him. We're willing to suffer with him. We're not going to abandon our little brother like we abandoned our other little brother, Joseph. God has changed their hearts. These men are cut to the heart in that moment. What must we do? We will be your slaves. Not just Benjamin. But then, that's not good enough. Because Judah, and I think Judah was moved by the Holy Spirit here. He steps up with boldness and courage to speak the truth to someone who was like a king. He steps up to him and says, oh my Lord, let your servant speak a word in my Lord's ears, and do not be angry with your servant, for you are like Pharaoh himself. In other words, you hold all the power. You have the authority of life or death in this moment right now. And here's what he says. Verse 19. My Lord asked his servants, saying, have you a father or a brother? And we said to my Lord, we have a father and an old man and a young brother, the child of his own age. His brother is dead. He alone is left of his mother's children, and his father loves him. His father loves him. That's a word we always need to hear. That God, your Father in heaven, loves you. I'm going to continue. His Father loves him. And then you said to your servants, bring him down to me so that I may set my eyes on him. And we said to my Lord, the boy can't leave his father. For if he should leave his father would die. If he would leave his father would die. Remember, Judah said, his life is bound up in the life of the boy. And even though Jacob had that complicated grief as Israel, he becomes a preview of the Messiah of God, because God, our Father in heaven, would rather send his Son, who is his presence with us on earth, so the Father is in the Son, instead of losing his children, he would rather die for them to redeem us. If he should leave his father would die. Then you said to your servants, unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you shall see my face no more. And when we went back to your servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And when our father said, go again, buy us a little food, we said, we can't go down. Only if our youngest brother goes with us will we go down. For we cannot see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us. Then your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons. One left me. So now Jacob is admitting that he feels abandoned even by Joseph. Sometimes when we lose a loved one, we can feel that abandonment. And even though they're gone or they're dead, or we think that they're gone for good, they left us. We can feel abandoned and we can feel pain and hurt towards them. Even if it was a tragedy, he says, you know that my wife bore me two sons, one left me, and I said, surely he has been torn to pieces and I've never seen him since. And if you take this one also from me and harm comes to him, you will bring down my great herds down to Sheol, or the place of the dead. He's never gotten over Joseph. nor should he. But he says, now therefore, when I come to my servant, my father, this is Judah now, and the boy is not with us, then as his life is bound up in the boy's life, when he sees that the boy is not with us, he will die. And your servants will bring down the gray hairs of your servant, our father, with sorrow to Sheol. For your servant, in other words, Judah saying, I became surety for the boy to my father. In other words, he became surety to the boy, not just to show love for Benjamin, but to show love for his father by taking responsibility and continuing his father's legacy of leadership. When his father was too weak in his grief to lead, Judah stepped up and said, I will be surety for the boy. I will take responsibility for all this mess. And if I fail, I will still bear the weight of the blame. There's no turning back for Judah. He's told the truth now to Zaphnath-Paneah, the vizier of Egypt. He says, I became surety for the boy, my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to you, then I will bear the blame and the risk of the sight of my father for all my life. Now, therefore, please let your servant remain as a slave to my Lord in place of the boy. Just like Jesus was on the cross in place for us to set us free. He says, in place of the boy, and let the boy go back to his brothers. For how can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? I fear to see the suffering that would come upon my father. He's not just afraid that his dad's going to die in grief. He's afraid of the suffering that will eventually kill him. He knows that immediately it's going to be this agonizing, excruciating pain for his father that will destroy him. And so Judah shows that he loves his father, he loves his brothers, he loves Benjamin, and he even loves Joseph. Wow. He could be executed right there for being insolent to the grand vizier. But God is working, because look at verse 45. Let's say this together. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, send everyone away from me. So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. It takes courage, even when you have all that power like Joseph, to be vulnerable in that moment of truth. And to trust God to take care of you, even if there's a risk that other people might hurt you again, or they might be mad at you, or they might not recognize you. Joseph made himself known to them. Like we saw in that video, you know, he took off his headdress, but he probably still had the makeup on, and probably the goatee, and was much taller and stronger, wearing these, you know, regal clothes. Made himself known to them. He sent everybody else out because this was a family matter. He made himself known to his brothers. And then he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Can you imagine that? That moment of truth? He reveals himself not just in appearance. He reveals himself, all these emotions he's been trying to control and contain and do in an appropriate way so to not mess up God's plan to reunite his family. That moment of truth came, and when he was with the people who had said that he loved, they still loved him, he made himself vulnerable and allowed himself to feel and receive that love that he had been missing all those years. And he wept so loudly, tears of grief and tears of joy. And he probably felt sorrow and probably felt bad about the test that God had him put them through, or that he put them through, and was convicted in his heart. And his heart was no longer stone, but his heart was softened. And he opened himself up to his brothers and he wept so loudly the entire palace could hear it. And he says to them, I am Joseph. I am Joseph, not Zaphnath-Paneah. I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? Is my father still alive? It could be that their dad might have died because they took Benjamin away from him. But if he was still alive, there was a glimmer of hope that Joseph might be reconciled and reunited with his father, not just his brothers, not just with Benjamin, not just with Judah, but with his father, whom he still has unfinished work of forgiveness and testimony with. Is my father still alive? I am Joseph. But his brothers could not answer him because they were so dismayed at his presence. Sometimes there's a moment of truth where God calls us to be vulnerable with people we love or even people we've hurt or have hurt us. And sometimes there's a moment where they're not ready to be vulnerable yet. There's kind of the shock of the situation. And so we're kind of left with that cliffhanger this week. But the good news is we saw that from Judah and his brothers, we realized that, God, what can we say to you, my Lord? What can we speak? How can we clear ourselves? God, you found out the guilt of us, your servants. So here we are then. And what we can learn from Joseph is that when the moment of truth comes and it's time to speak the truth in love, we can reveal ourselves. And we can even allow our emotions to come out, to feel the grief, the pain, the angst, the hope, the joy. When God brings a healing and a forgiveness with a loved one, or even with an enemy. And so next week, we're going to hear how Joseph is reunited with his father. And this holy conversation continues.